Welcome to the Craft Beer Connoisseurs. I'm Chris.
I'm Tyler, and Brett's not here.
Still not here.
But you know who is here?
Who?
Old Nellie Nelson.
Oh, hey Nelson, welcome back.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to have Nelson. I don't want to say it's nice not to have Brett, but it's kind of nice not to have Brett.
It's different not to have Brett.
I feel kind of honored.
You know, I now understand what you and Brett, you know, were going through when I was not at the episode recordings.
I kind of feel, I kind of feel bad for the listeners, though.
Yeah, they like Brett.
They like Brett. They like you.
Yeah.
The only constant they've had is a constant pain in their ass.
Yeah, they don't.
And that's me.
They're okay with you.
They tolerate me. I feel like I'm the driving force of the podcast, and I don't know if I get the same appreciation. Like, oh, well, what happened to Brett? Where's Chris? We want Chris. Like, I feel like if I left for a month, they'd be like, oh, great episodes, guys. You really killed it.
Yeah, the Instagram comments after this last episode was, where's Brett? What's going on with Brett?
Yeah, you know that for all the time that you're on Instagram.
I've been told. Nelson's been monitoring.
Nelson has been monitoring. But again, I don't know, man.
Hey.
You know what?
You got to test it out, right? You got to test the theory.
It's true. So I think it's important, though, that Nelson picked a topic that kind of was good that Brett maybe wasn't here.
Yeah, probably.
And we're talking beer education. So this is part of the beer education series that we kind of do sporadically.
Not sure how many kind of, I don't know, notches or pieces of the series we're in.
It'd be nice to see. I think we got to do like a stock maybe of like a playlist about what the repository looks like for each kind of, you know, beer education series, or how many times we had Trevor on. How many times we had beers explode in her face, which is coincidentally the same amount that we had Trevor on. It's very it's very ebb and flow, much like the times that we have Trevor on, and the beer ebbs and it flows.
All over the ceiling.
I should probably digress at this point because it is a producer special, and we didn't have one previously, and we made out okay.
Oh, what, a producer?
Without a producer.
Yeah, we did.
No producer.
And
no,
now
no
we problem. Have we have Nelson here.
So let's make out. Let's just make out. No, let's make out.
Whoa, Nelson, get back in your chair.
Yes, yeah, I said that, and all of a sudden,
jeepers.
Yeah, it's a joke, Nelson. You'll get the lay of the land here. I know that Brett's not here, but relax. So yeah. On a previous episode, we're kind of going back now a couple weeks. We did a thing about poets. I think there's nine of them.
Nine. Yeah, it was Roman numerals, so it was
1X Poets Brewery.
Yes. That's it.
That's the one. So, you know, I went and we heard about, you know, about Brett going. Getting the pint.
He went
first. Yeah,
was thinking of himself.
As one does, yep. That's probably why he's not here now.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And so we met Mike at Paris Brewing to pick up those beers.
Yes, Mike from Nine Poets.
From
but at 1X Paris Poets Brewing.
At yes. Paris, yes, yeah. Very good. So we had a beer there.
Yes. Brett had a flight, yeah.
Well, I as well had a flight.
Right, yes.
He had his order before
first,
I came
yeah.
in, as one does, or as Brett does, I suppose. And one of them was called Amphora, it was Amphora Sorghum Beer, which was listed on Untappd, actually as a sorghum millet beer.
Hmm.
We've never had this on the podcast before.
I've never had that on or off the podcast.
Well, there you go. So, one of, you know, my Untappd friends, because
you have so many.
So many Untappd friends. I never heard of this style. And much like you, Chris, weren't really familiar with it. So, you know what? Producer Nelson picked up on this knowing that he was going to be coming on in the next month, month and a half, kind of. We didn't really kind of give him a firm timeline because that WhatsApp group and don't really get involved in.
Yeah.
So yeah, producer Nelson said, you know what, this might actually be good to add into the educational series. There's a lot of producers I don't agree with, but Nelson I do. So
good job, Nelson.
Here's where we're at. So, Chris, why don't you kind of take the next little bibbity boppity boop?
You know what I like though about Nelson is he's paying attention. Because
it's true. That's true.
This is a piece that could go unnoticed by just the average producer, but
not Nelson.
Nelson did a good job there. For those who are wondering what sorghum is, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's a grass that provides a gluten-free grain. It is grown widely as a food crop in Africa and Asia, but it's also in parts of the Americas.
Speaking about Asia.
Here we go.
Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
It is also grown in parts of the Americas and Oceania.
Very good.
So it's related to millet. And although there are numerous species under the sorghum species, the main crop variety is called sorghum bicolor.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. So in the U.S., because a lot of the information that we get here in Canada really is derived from the U.S.,
yeah.
It is chiefly cultivated as a substitute to corn, which does make sense.
Yeah.
We're talking about, obviously, it's related to millet. It's kind of a gluten-free grain, so we would kind of see gluten-free beers kind of made out of, sorghum.
Yeah.
So it's a substitute for the corn for livestock feed and or bioethanol production, and then it's also turned into that sorghum syrup.
Hmm.
Okay?
So it's interesting that even though it's gluten-free, the beer you had was not classified as a gluten-free beer.
Correct.
Because I believe that's a category on Untappd.
Yeah.
So they specifically called out that it was a sorghum beer. So that's interesting.
It is. And I don't know, again, about all the additional additives that would be kind of added, obviously, into the beer, which might deviate from that full-on gluten-free experience.
Yeah. So sorghum is actually well adapted to growing in hot, arid climates, so Asia, for example.
I was going to say, Asia was very hot. There was a lot of arid climates. I was going to say
a little
that.
Humid, maybe?
A lot of arid climates. Yeah.
So it does require a sustained high temperature for a high yield. So Canada, probably not a good location.
But Southeast Asia?
Right. Thailand, maybe?
Thailand. I'd say Malaysia would probably do really well.
Yeah.
The Philippines.
Okay.
Just a couple of different spots.
You might know about that.
I have some familiarity, yes.
So sorghum subspecies are grouped into grain, grass, sweet, and broom corn varieties.
Okay.
The grain and sweet sorghums are the subspecies that can be used in brewing.
All great points. To add to the education on that is the use of sorghum as a brewing grain is traditional actually really in Africa.
Oh, so not Asia.
I mean, it is traditional
right.
in Africa, but again, expanded into that Asia based on probably climate.
Right.
So where sorghum-based alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages have really kind of been made in that small brew scale for centuries, really in, again, Africa.
Right.
Which is kind of cool to see. I've never been to Africa, but once I am there, you'll probably know about it. Nothing? You got nothing to add to that?
No.
I was waiting for a witty remark. sorghum is also widely used in modern African industrial brewing because domestically produced sorghum is less costly than imported barley.
Makes sense.
And we talk about this a lot with a lot of breweries. Is they like to use very local ingredients. So this is very transferred really well to Africa brewing styles, right? Not necessarily taking imported barleys and malts from like Germany or Europe in general and kind of like North America.
Yeah.
But using really locally sourced ingredients there. And I don't think in all the beers in which I've consumed, any have been direct from Africa. I don't want to speak for you, Chris, but I think you're probably in the same boat, and same with you, Nelson.
Yeah, nothing I can think of.
But it'd be very interesting to kind of do a comparative analysis of what that looks like from a very Africa originating beer.
Yeah.
Made with sorghum.
It would be interesting for sure. So the Guinness Stout, you've probably heard of this.
Guinness. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know that one.
Got it.
So when it's made in Nigeria, it's made from a sorghum mash and malt extract. So there you go.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was just saying too, right? It's like using those local ingredients. So I wonder what that Guinness stout tastes in Nigeria in comparison to other parts of the world.
Probably different.
And I draw a comparison to like Atlanta with Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And how they have the Coca-Cola factory, and you can try different flavors of Coke throughout the world at the Coca-Cola Museum or whatever it is there.
Right.
It'd be interesting to see what that Guinness stout tastes like and the differences between Guinness in its originating country.
Right.
And or Nigeria.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Very much so.
So also sorghum can be malted in a fashion that is similar to barley, but it does require a higher temperature for germination. So interesting. It may be not necessarily more expensive, but more, you know, there's more, obviously higher temperature. So it could get more costly to kind of brew it versus regular barley. But again, if you're getting it locally, then that kind of offsets the cost.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's the difference between that import export, right? Yeah. Vandelay Industries, as one
right.
would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you, in all seriousness, if you're in like Africa or Asia, this might be an alternative that is actually cheaper.
For sure.
But conversely, if you're in Canada here, it might be at a higher cost.
Probably not. That's now, why they're much more rare.
Right. And you talked about that germination, that higher temperatures, right? And like to kind of like dovetail into that is like, yes, it does behave very similar to that malted barley, but in the mash, it is hydrated. The enzymes break down starches to sugars. The sugars containing wort is boiled, cooled, and fermented with the brewer's yeast. So whatever the yeast that they put in there.
Yeah.
And we've seen some very unique yeast strains, kind of like carry forward yeast from one batch to another batch.
For sure.
But the unmalted sorghum can also be used as that starch adjunct in brewery.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't have to necessarily be, hey, this is what we're making our beer out of, and that's it. It can be an adjunct that really changes the flavor profile of any kind of beer and maybe gives it more of that traditional African style or Asian style, depending on what that looks like. Again, we talked about the lactobacillus in other beers.
Yes.
We've talked about what we like to see with that.
Yeah, with a sour. Yeah.
And really kind of generating or elevating a beer in a different style, especially from like a Western perspective, right? And I didn't know really about this when I was in Asia.
No, but you wish you would.
I wish I would, because it'd be interesting to see, because there's breweries like in Vietnam, Pasteur Brewing, which have a lot of really good beers. And I'm curious if this is part of their brewery style, and I might reach out to them.
Yeah.
Because it's a very good one. And Vietnam's a very interesting place because there's a lot of French styles and such into that. So it is kind of cool to see these concoctions, if you will, of what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunately, sorghum is not widely available in North America, but sorghum syrups can be used as a substitute. So maybe in that beer that you had, Tyler, that was a sorghum syrup rather than sorghum itself.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
But producer Nelson he was obviously listening to our last main episode because he was here, and also listening to the producer special that you referenced in that episode a few times.
For sure.
And he's thinking, He's putting his entry into the what might be the beer of 2024, and he's saying maybe it's the year of sorghum beer.
No, Nelson. No. No. I'm sorry. Not this year.
Probably maybe not next year.
Probably not. No. Probably not next year.
Maybe in Africa this year.
I think Africa every year.
Yes.
Like if we did this podcast and we moved to Africa, we'd probably say, and for the 18th year running, The beer of the year is a Sauerkraut beer. I get that.
It would be like in the late 2010s. The beer of the year again is the IPA.
The IPA. The juicy IPA.
Yeah.
The juicy IPA. And then the host starts crying.
My tongue is burnt from the hops.
It's not going to be it. It's not it, Nelson. I'm sorry.
Good try, though, Nelson.
You go back to the last episode, Nelson, a little bit of education for you. There's somebody of high intellect that called what the beer of the year is going to be. Trust the system. Don't deviate from that.
Come on, Nelson.
Anything you want to add?
No. I don't think so. Other than
do you concur with Nelson?
No, I don't.
That's the smartest thing you could say today.
I definitely don't. But what I would say is I would be interested to try a Sauerkraut beer for sure.
I have.
I know you have.
And I would do it again.
So maybe I need to go to Paris and try the Sauerkraut beer.
There you go. Shout out to Paris for the Sauerkraut beer.
For sure.
But that is unfortunately going to be it for today's producer special.
Well, thank you again for listening. Keep on listening. Every other Thursday is the Craft Beer Connoisseurs. Release a new episode and on our off Thursdays for these unique producer specials.
Very good. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, but from Brett, he would say, remember to drink responsibly and don't drink and drive. So from all of us and producer Nelson, even though he might be wrong, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Chris.
And together, the Craft Beer Connoisseurs.